All right, guys. So today's episode is going to be a little bit different than what you're used to hearing. It's a special episode that I wanted to put out there to address some concerns I had with the information that's being put out there with regards to the coronavirus. All right. So here we go.
Welcome to the Fit United radio and podcast, where each episode we aim to bring you fresh, relevant fitness and health-related news, content, and interviews to help you reach new heights and ultimately become your best and fittest selves. All right, guys, in 3, 2, and 1, let's go.
All right, guys, Kevin here on the Fit United podcast. I just wanted to come on here, make a little video and a podcast episode, special episode, talking about what the coronavirus is. I made a bit of a ranty video slash post last night, and it was just driven by a lot of the posts and information that's kind of getting spread on social media and things like that, that I think is very misleading and it's causing a bit of panic and concern, fear that perhaps is a little premature. Maybe that's my opinion, but I also think that it's important that we're sharing information that's valid and relevant as opposed to what we think is correct. And I think in the fitness industry in particular, and I said this earlier, that it's like a temptation to feel like we need to be experts in things like this when really we're not. And it's a little bit frustrating because I see it and I don't want to demonize the people who are sharing this information. But at the same time, it's so important that we step back a little bit and instead of thinking about ourselves for a second and how we can self-promote, to actually be humble enough to say, you know what, I don't know anything about this, but because we do work in the fitness and health industry, that we have a bit of a duty to spread the information that is valid and factual. The only thing that's, besides the actual virus itself that's spreading, it's this misinformation. And it's a little bit frustrating for me to see. So what I would like to do for you guys is to share the information that's coming straight from the World Health Organization website and also from the CDC or the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, and all the updated information that they provided as to the status of this virus. So first of all, we all know it as coronavirus, or what is now known as COVID-19, as kind of a short form for it. Essentially, COVID-19 stands for Coronavirus Disease 19. So it was actually discovered in 2019, and hence it having the 19 kind of suffix. It was discovered in 2019 and previously not identified in humans. So it's been categorized. Coronaviruses is a zoonotic virus. And what that means is they are transmitted between animals and people. Much like SARS was, several years ago, it was from civet cats to humans. And MERS, it was coming from camels to humans as well. So there's several coronaviruses that circulate in animals, but which have never been exposed or transmitted to humans. So what are some common signs of infection? How do we know potentially that maybe you and I are affected? Again, maybe just because you have some of these symptoms, it doesn't mean that you have it. It just could be an indicator. All right. So some common signs, fever, cough, shortness of breath, just a certain breathing difficulties. In more severe cases, infection can cause pneumonia, acute respiratory syndrome, and kidney failure, and of course, even death. I know there's a number that's out there as to how many people have died from the disease, and we'll get to the stats there in a second, I think, here, but before, I think there's been so much focus on that so-called death toll and that number. Keep in mind, guys, these numbers are global, and depending on your community, those numbers vary. I know in the United States, there's quite a significant amount more people, even just down south in Washington State. The numbers are significantly higher in terms of cases of coronavirus. And also, guys, coronavirus doesn't cause death immediately. It is a just like another virus that you can get. You can recover from it. So what are some simple recommendations? This is, again, coming from the World Health Organization. Recommendations as to how we can prevent infection. Regular hand washing. We made a funny video about it in Iron Alley. To wash your hands. It's very basic. We all do it every day, but I think maybe we just all suck at it. I know I certainly do, and I'm doing a better job of being more diligent. Spend 20 seconds getting the palms and the backs of your hands, even go up to the wrist. My wife Misha even mentioned, like, you know, wash your Apple Watch. You don't know what you touched and it's contacted as well. Cover your mouth and nose when coughing or sneezing. I know a lot of people will cough into their hands. Cough into your elbow, into the sleeve of your shirt. That way it's covering both your mouth and nose. Stop touching your face. I know I'm kind of notorious for it. I kind of lean like this a lot or touch my face. But if we can prevent that a little bit, that'll help a lot. Thoroughly cooking meat and eggs. I like kind of my eggs runny. So maybe be careful with cooking meat. Avoid close contact with anyone showing symptoms of respiratory illness, such as coughing and sneezing. Okay. Now we're just going to go backtrack a little bit, and I'll go back over some of these recommendations that the WHO and the CDC have recommended. So the source of the coronavirus itself. So it was discovered in 2019. In January, at the end of January of this year, the WHO declared the outbreak a public health emergency of international concern. All right. And throughout the next couple of months, it was then declared on March 11th a pandemic. So pandemic, what that essentially means is a global spread of this disease. Epidemic is a bit on a smaller scale. I think epidemic is a more commonly used term, but this is now on a global scale and is now considered a pandemic. So spread of the virus, it's a lot of reports or people have been talking about where it came from. And so many of the patients from the beginning of the outbreak, they traced it back to a certain province in China, Hubei province, particularly Wuhan, I believe. And it linked it to some large seafood and live animal markets. And that's where it's people are suggesting it was an animal to person spread and perhaps where it began. And then later on, there were people who had the virus that had never been in contact with any of these live animal markets. And as such, that's where people or these experts have now determined that it was spreading from person to person. So the severity of the virus thus far. Here's the thing is that even to the CDC, they don't have a full, complete clinical picture as to the severity of COVID-19. So the reported illnesses have ranged from very mild, including some with no reported symptoms, to severe, again, including illness and resulting in death. Some of the information suggests that out of China, serious illness occurs in about 16% of cases, so quite low. But then older people and people of all ages with severe chronic medical conditions like heart disease, lung disease, and diabetes, they seem to be of higher risk. All right. So they've done, the CDC has done a risk assessment. Now, keep in mind, the CDC is based out of the US, and so a lot of this information references Americans and the U.S. Citizens, but I believe it's very much transferable and relatable here in Canada. The risk from COVID-19 to Americans can be broken down, into a risk of exposure versus risk of serious illness and death. Risk of exposure. The immediate risk of being exposed to this virus is still very low. But as the outbreak expands, that risk will increase, and cases of COVID-19 and instances of community spread are being reported in a growing number of areas or states. People in places where ongoing community spread of the virus that causes COVID-19 has been reported are at elevated risk of exposure, with a level of risk dependent on the location. So that's why they're saying this term now, social distancing. A lot of places here, especially now, I believe we're not allowed to have any gatherings of greater than 250 people. So multiple professional leagues, the NBA, NHL, any sports leagues that are currently in season have suspended those seasons. I watched Formula One and they suspended the race just this weekend in Australia. So, you know, everywhere there an event that will be have a big gathering of people, those events have been canceled or postponed. So obviously, if you have committed to one of those things, make sure you check. And I'm sure there's been some information out already as to whether those events are still ongoing. Risk of severe illness now. So early information out of China, where COVID-19 first started, shows that some people are at higher risk of getting very sick from this illness. Again, it includes older people. Risk increases with age. So there's a correlation there. The older you get, the more higher risk you are. People who have serious chronic medical conditions, heart disease, diabetes, lung disease, as I mentioned. All right. So what may happen? Again, it's kind of up in the air still, you know, no pun intended there. But so the widespread transmission of COVID-19 could translate into large numbers of people needing medical care at the same time. So there's this term out there, or a hashtag now, that's out, flatten the curve. So there was this visual that was put out by a scientist. I can't remember who it was, but anyway, it's been disseminated now, and it's a curve as to, like a bell curve, of the cases of people who contract it. And the hashtag is flatten the curve. So essentially, if we do our part in mitigating our risk of exposure, and therefore our potential to spread the virus by doing certain things, like I said, washing hands and, you know, minimizing contact with people, you can flatten that curve. And all that means is, as the curve comes up and the steeper it is, the greater instances of the COVID-19 virus. And therefore, those people, as there's a greater amount at the same period of time, could put strain on the healthcare or the medical system in your respective country, or just globally, essentially. So how can we flatten that curve such that the healthcare system can cope with the cases as we continue? There are many ways, obviously, as we'd mentioned already, but that's the goal, is to perhaps amortize or spread out the cases that occur such that we don't have this spike in demand on the healthcare system. So there's a few things here. There's kind of like even a cheat sheet. What I'm actually going to do is I'm going to post this little cheat sheet from the CDC as to what the coronavirus is and what kind of things we can do to mitigate, especially if you do discover that you are sick or that you have contracted it. Here you go. Here's another one here. How does COVID-19 spread? First, of course, it was between animal to person, and now it's person to person, hence the widespread spreading now. If you're in close contact with another person or within about 6 feet, respiratory droplets produced when an infected person coughs or sneezes can transfer the disease. All right, cough or sneeze, when you expel, sometimes there's a bit of spit or a mucus that comes out that could transfer it. It also may be possible that a person can get COVID-19 by touching a face or your face or a surface that has the virus on it, and then touching a surface that has the virus on it, and then touching your face, your nose, your mouth, your eyes. But it's not the main way that the virus has spread. So it's possible. And that's why here at Iron Alley, we've got wipes here. We've got actually bought spray that we can just spray down all the surfaces to help prevent that potential of surface contact and then transferring it to yourself. So other ways that you can protect yourself, close contact with people who are sick. Also, guys, if you are sick, I know I'm just coming away from a cough. I haven't been tested. I don't believe that I have it. I hope I don't have it. But this was prior to all of this stuff coming down. Just prevent the spread. If you are sick or if you feel like you are sick, just stay home. Don't expose yourself to other people, at least for now, right? Stop touching your eyes, nose, your mouth with your unwashed hands. Of course, wash your hands again with soap, 20 seconds minimum. Both sides of your hands, get up to your wrists. Use some alcohol-based hand sanitizer. There's some people that have put out videos as to how to make some of your own. You can actually make some. It's just, I think, some rubbing alcohol and aloe vera gel. So you can very easily make some at home. If you go to any grocery store or a pharmacy, you'll be hard-pressed to find any. And I think that's another issue that I want to address is that this hoarding of resources. A lot of us here, especially in an established, developed country, we have access to all of these things, whether it's toilet paper or hand sanitizer or cleaning products and things like that. It's frustrating to see pictures of people selling toilet paper out of the back of their trucks, or people posting on Craigslist or Amazon or whatever, eBay, trying to arbitrage these products like hand sanitizers and marking them up. Like, it's very opportunistic. It's very predatory, and it's just very selfish. And I think we all need to find a way to help one another in this time. What really cool story that I saw on the news the other day was there was this guy in Toronto. Just he had bought up a bunch of these hand sanitizers, but he was just handing them out to people. So use your means to gather these resources, but also use it to help other people who may not be able to buy 100,000 rolls of toilet paper all at once. We don't all have the means to do that. Where I'm working right now, I'm sitting directly across the entrance of a grocery store, and it's kind of disheartening to see people, you know, coming out, you know, both arms in with toilet paper. So there was this, I guess, need or demand for toilet paper. And I'm thinking, what's the big deal? Like, if we run out of toilet paper, wipe your ass with something else, right? And what this artificial demand on this product. And, they kind of look out, you know, I see these people walking out with these things and they're kind of looking sheepish and slightly guilty. But I'm thinking, but why are you buying it and gobbling all this up? And now they've, you know, grocery stores are starting to put limits as to how many you can buy now for a good reason. But I think it's very selfish. I think it's very unnecessary. We don't need to hoard and then try to arbitrage and sell it to people. I think we can do a better job of just being good, kind human beings, just sharing the resources, or at the very least, allowing people to get their own, giving them the opportunity. I don't think there's going to be a shortage of actual production of toilet paper, so I don't know what the big deal is. But there's a lot of funny memes about it. So at least that's one funny thing. So going back to what is the solution for this COVID-19? Is there a vaccine? Can we get vaccinated like we would for the flu on a seasonal basis? There is currently no vaccine, and I think that's perhaps part of the reason why there's a bit of anxiety around it, because there is no known way to cure it or to manage it through traditional medicine, whether it's a vaccine or a pill or something like that. So, of course, again, what's the solution? Besides that is preventative measures. How can we prevent ourselves from contracting it and all the things that we talked about earlier? All right. No specific antiviral treatment for COVID-19 at this time. So what can you do if you do feel like you have some of these symptoms, right? Obviously, go to a medical professional, get checked out, find out for sure. But in the meantime, stay home. If you can't make an appointment or aren't able to, just isolate yourself. I think there's a lot of talk about self-isolation. People traveling from abroad are being mandated now to self-isolate for a certain period of time. So minimize that kind of discretionary travel. If you don't need to be, you know, flying out to different places, perhaps minimize a little bit of that. So avoid public areas. So don't go to work, school, public areas. Again, within reason, follow up with your employer or with your school. A lot of these preventative measures are being put in place by those employers and by those places anyway. So just make sure you're staying in the loop with what is happening with your employer and what they'd like to do in this regard. Public transportation, obviously, it's a big gathering of people. Try to minimize it. Obviously, avoid public transportation, ride sharing, taxis. The unfortunate side effect to all of this is that you're actually impacting the economy in a sense, because this is the livelihood of a lot of these people. Taxis, ride sharing, all these services, even restaurants. You know, people saying, you know, don't go out to eat at home. Things like that. It's an unfortunate byproduct of what's going on. I think it's important to also be mindful that, sure, it's important that we, it's kind of a contradiction, I know, because you want to be able to continue to live life and experience, you know, the things that you want to do, be out and about, but also still be mindful. So someone made a comment on one of my posts yesterday about the video that we made here at Iron Alley, just saying, hey, here's a sign. We do need you to wash hands when you come in and you go out. Here's the bathroom. And we kind of made it funny, like, you know, we were a flight attendants and we were directing you in different ways. And someone made a comment, it's like, I disagree. Just go home or stay home or work out outside, you know, where it's well ventilated and things like that. Fair. Absolutely. Based on what you want to do, I think it's important. If you want to stay home, that's okay. But it's also important to think that, you know, there's places like gyms, like restaurants that are operating. And if these people are putting things in place to make sure that you're safe, I think that's important that you know that, because, that's our duty as business owners to make sure that you feel comfortable coming in here. In no way would we ever compel you. You got to get your workout in. If you don't feel comfortable coming in, any of my clients, same thing. I would never compel them to come in and do a workout if they don't feel comfortable being in a public space. The good thing is we don't have a flood of bodies coming in here and increasing that risk level. But in terms of it impacting businesses and things, there are, smaller businesses that would be great, the impact would be greater for them. So local restaurants, local bars and pubs, local eateries or meat shops or grocery stores, things like that, where they perhaps won't be able to absorb the economical impact of avoiding being in those places. So be mindful of what you're doing. Obviously, we still need to live. We still need to be out and about. But also be mindful that there's people that do depend on each other for support in terms of whether you patronize their business in your community. So if you can, that's probably something that I would consider, is supporting those local smaller businesses in times like this, where they would likely be more impacted economically. All right. There's so many other things here that you could do in terms of, you know, tactics or strategies as to how to minimize it. But a lot of it, to be honest, some of it comes down to just common sense. I think when people put, I saw a particular post that someone had made about, you know, important that you get some sleep, important that you wash your hands. And I'm thinking, yes, true, yes, true, yes, true. But a lot of it is just common sense, and perhaps common sense isn't so common. And that's kind of the joke sometimes, is that, you know, maybe we shouldn't dismiss these things as common knowledge. But really, if you're just thoughtful about your actions and where you're going and what you're doing, I think it's very easy to know what kind of things we should do to be considerate with others. So washing your hands diligently, being mindful, especially if you're in contact with younger children, elders, whose immune systems are perhaps more compromised. Limit contact with pets and animals. That's an interesting one, obviously, because it's transferred from animals. If you are sick, because you can transfer it to them as well, it seems like. And this is, again, coming from the CDC. I've seen some contradictory information in that regard. So keep that in mind. You should wear a face mask I mean, I've seen them in every grocery store or even Canadian Tire, front and center for you to buy. If you do have it, it'll help prevent you transmitting it to others. So wear a face mask if you do have, if you are have confirmed that you do have COVID-19. Also, people caring for you, really important that, you know, maybe you limit it to one person at a time who's coming into contact with you, distance everyone else in your household, super important so that you're not in constant communicate or constant contact with them. Just be more diligent about wiping down the surfaces. Everyone has those Lysol wipes that they use in the kitchen, very, very effective in minimizing a lot of that. Anyway, guys, I'm going to cut it short here. All I wanted to do was disseminate some information that's coming from, again, credible sources. The CDC, as a resource, is probably the first place. I mean, certainly the first place that I thought of when I wanted to learn more about what COVID-19 was. No clue what it was. Everyone was just talking about it in the news, and everyone's just going on social media and seeing all these things. And so I want to learn more about it. And I think it would be prudent for you guys, and what I would recommend, rather than listening to me or anyone else in our circles, is to just do some of your own research and find out exactly what the facts are with this virus. And I mean, it's very easy. CDC.gov, the first thing that's going to come up is all this coronavirus stuff. World Health Organization, again, very easy resource to look up. Find out the facts react based on, move accordingly based on what's factual. I think it's important that we're not panicking. We just need to calm down. I just had an interview with a guest on the podcast, and you know, the only thing that he could say was just, let's just calm down. Let's just take a deep breath, be calm, and really assess and be critical of the information that we're absorbing. I mean, this goes beyond just what this coronavirus thing is right now. I think it's important that we're critical of the information that we hear and that we see. We're so inundated and bombarded with all this information on a daily basis. And if you just tune out a little bit, step back and go outside and you know, take a breath of fresh air, and then come back and do some research and understand exactly what it is, so that you're not creating panic within your own circles and within yourself. You know, I think that's a really important thing, that we're not just, you know, the amount of times that you see it, you know, it's just like marketing. You see it enough times, the tendency is to believe it. I think if we are careful with what information we allow into our minds, and then we then spread to our circles, if we're mindful of all of that, then I think we'll be much better off in not creating so much panic. Anyway, guys, I'm thinking I'm just rambling now, but I appreciate you guys tuning in and listening. This special episode and video for with regards to the COVID-19. All I can say is, in terms of message, be diligent with your hand washing. Be mindful of the people that you come in contact with. Perhaps limit that a little bit. You know, if you don't have to be in large groups of people, that's okay too. Contact your employer or find out what your employer, your school, what they're doing in terms of mitigating the effects, and if they're limiting you coming in to work or to school, they're gonna have that information out there. And just be kind to people. Be kind. Try not to be selfish and hoard resources and things like that. I think that's probably the most disheartening thing that I've seen when all this stuff is coming out. And this is going to be for a little while, guys. It's not just going to come and go. So when this becomes a full-blown thing, or if it does, how are we all going to react? I think we all need to just, again, sit back and take a deep breath and really reassess how we've been reacting to all of this. Anyway, guys, thanks for tuning in. I will see you guys later. Take care and stay healthy out there.